Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Wake Up to Spirit, your every week on Thursday blog talk radio show sponsored by the Lilydale Assembly. You can find us on Blog Talk Radio, of course, and also on the Lilydale Assembly page on Facebook, streaming live, and here on my page, Celeste Elliott, and I am your host. And also, I have with me today two very, 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 very special co-hosts. I'm joking, of course, my cup of coffee, because I couldn't be present without it, and the really wonderful Shannon Taggart. So Shannon, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, Celeste. I'm really happy to be here.
Absolutely. So Shannon has been on the show before, for those of you who have been keeping tabs. And she, of course, has been around Lilydale for years and years. I've known you for years and years through Lilydale at this point. So Shannon, for those of you who haven't had an opportunity to come to know you yet, how did you find Lilydale?
Well, I grew up in Buffalo, New York, which is about an hour away. And when I was in high school, one of my older cousins went to Lilydale, and she got a reading from a medium in a message service that described my grandfather came to the medium and described the details of his death, which conflicted with the story we were told about his death. And she came back and told her parents, my uncle, and he said, no, that's true. And it kind of sent shockwaves through our family. I remember it being like a really shocking incident. And it just struck me that how could this perfect stranger know something that happened years ago that wasn't, you know, I mean, there would be no way for this medium to know those details. So that piqued my interest. Yeah. But then I became a professional photographer, and I was working in the area as a photojournalist, and I wanted to find a project I could work on, like a documentary project I could work on my spare time. And I thought, oh, maybe I'll try Lilydale. It's such an interesting place. And little did I know that I would still be there two decades later, completely fascinated by spiritualism and all of its facets, which is not only the mediums who do the work today, but also this absolutely wild history of the religion, which not a lot of people understand because it's been written out of many history books.
That is very, very, very true. For anybody who watches the show, I talk about how all of the political movements that came out of that burned over district, including, and for those of you who don't know, it's an area, Western New York, kind of Central New York, where you had Mormonism, you had spiritualism, you had political movements with the abolitionists and the temperance movement, and all of these things kind of come together. And it's history sort of gets sanitized a little bit, I think. And it's sort of like, well, we don't want to make our, you know, it's good when the movement is in full bloom. And we have all these extra people who will vote for what we want them to vote for, but then we want to kind of sanitize the. We won't talk about those people that that helped us get to this place because that would make us look weird.
Yeah, so. Yeah. One of the most fascinating aspects is spiritualism's contribution to the women's rights movement.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I often cite, you know, the best book written about that is a book called Radical Spirits by a scholar named Anne Brody. And she talks about in the second edition in the preface about how her colleagues at Harvard were really dismayed and upset that she was soiling the women's rights movement by acknowledging spiritualism's huge influence on it, or, you know, the relationship between the two. And so, yes, all of this fascinating.
You know what I actually found out yesterday was that there was a spiritualist camp and town, which went defunct in the late 1800s because of a tornado in Michigan, called Harmonia. And one of the most famous residents of Harmonia was Sojourner Truth.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That is fascinating.
Yeah. I just found that out. So I was pretty like, ooh. Well, that's a fun factoid to have in my back pocket. So that's, you know, so for people who, you know, some of the people that she sort of mentored, like Matilda Jocelyn Gage, who was the mother-in-law of Frank Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz, of course. it's really very fascinating. So. But I've gotten completely off topic, so sorry about that. But so for those of you who don't know Shannon's work as a photographer, you are actually kind of a really big deal in the photo world.
I don't know if I'd put it that way, but thank you.
Well, I know you wouldn't because you're humble and sweet, but but it is quite true. So for those of you who don't know, Shannon, from out of her experience with spiritualism, you created a book called Seance. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Seance is a book I put out in 2019, and it, unfortunately, it's out of print right now, but I'm hoping that won't be forever. So it's a book, it took me almost 18 years to compile my work because I had to do research, and I needed to frame the work that I was doing within a spiritualist context because I was making pictures based on spiritualist history, especially their rich visual history, which includes the history of spirit photography.
Yeah.
But nobody knew, or not very many people knew about this history when I began in 2001, certainly. And so it became a research project and a history project as well as an art project. And it was finally compiled in my book, Seance. Which I'm really proud of and very happy with the way it came out. And I did my book launch in Lilydale.
Which was amazing.
Exciting.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that. So, and in addition to doing the book in Lilydale, some of the images in Lilydale and having the release here, you have worked for, this is what, 11 years on Science of Things Spiritual?
Oh, yes. Actually, I think it's maybe, no, like 7 or 8 years.
7 or 8,
now,
okay.
But yeah, so okay. Every summer I try to host a symposium of some sort. It's had many different iterations over the years. I mean, it was in the library once a week, and now it's a full day. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be in Susan Barnes' Spirit Art Gallery. So it's kind of evolved and changed, but now it's a day-long presentation with academics and scholars and historians who are talking about spiritualism or related topics.
That is fantastic. Yeah.
and the idea behind it is to merge the theory of spiritualism with the practice of spiritualism, because I started to go to conferences and speak about my own work, which was becoming more about research and history. And I was meeting all these fascinating people who are studying these topics, but not many of them had never met a medium or been to Lilydale. And then likewise, my friends in Lilydale, I would say, oh, I met the star who's doing this fascinating work on these early spiritualists, and they hadn't heard of it because, you know, it wasn't being publicized generally. A lot of this is just through the academic network. So that's the idea behind the series. And we usually get a really great crowd of people who are interested from many different frames of reference and walks of life and where they're coming at. We have skeptics and spiritualists sitting in the audience and enjoying the talks. And that, to me, I think is really an interesting conversation to hold.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. So every lecture is approximately an hour, correct? And when is that this year?
This year it is July 31st. It's a marathon of a day, but it's really worth it. We try to give a really large lunch break, and there's short breaks in between. Yeah. And then this year on Friday, July 30th, we're gonna open the event with a film screening and book release with two artists. One is a filmmaker, Emmy-nominated filmmaker Ronnie Thomas, and the other is a National Geographic fellow, Erica Larson, and they both do work related to the idea of visualizing the spiritual.
Fabulous. That is super, super, super exciting. So for those of you who are interested, that is a good time to mark your calendar for, to come into Lilydale. And you can get those tickets online at lilydaleassembly.org. And you can use the calendar feature. You can look under events and type in Science of Things Spiritual or SOTS. And that will come up. For those who are not able to make it in person, is this also going to be broadcast on Zoom this year, or is it what? How are you doing?
This is our first year of a hybrid event, which means you can attend online or attend in person. So we've never done this before. It's a brave new world with this event. But last summer we only did online, which we had never done before. So you can buy an online ticket as well. And I have all the events kind of in a list form on my event site with the direct links to Lilydale. And if you want to see everything kind of, you know, in a line, so you can look at it all, it's shannontaggart.com/events.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for that. I'm really excited, by the way, because you always have really interesting topics with this. By the way, you know, we're not taking calls for readings or that sort of thing, but if you have questions and you want to call in, the phone number is 818-739-8818, and you can ask me or Shannon questions about Lilydale, what's coming up this summer, Science of Things Spiritual, photography. that's always a good thing. So, I'm just, if you hear me typing, I wanted to, coming up very quickly, which is great. Yay. I wanted to ask about, so the first lecture starts at 9 o'clock, and you have the Delphic women of, I'm going to murder the name, Claude Bragdon with Jocelyn Goodwin, Jocelyn Goodwin. So that should be really interesting. I was trying to take a sneak peek at all of the classes that are going on that day. And I'm hoping to have that as my day off that week so I can attend everything.
Oh,
so
great.
I'm working on it.
That first talk, the Delphic Women of Claude Bragdon, Claude Bragdon was a very famous architect.
Yes.
And apparently he did research with women who did automatic writing, and he was very involved with these women. He and he felt that they were never sure if where this information was coming from, whether it was coming from the women's higher self, their unconscious mind, or spirits were giving them this information. So I guess I didn't know anything about this story, so I guess we'll find out more about, like, their conclusions.
Yeah.
But the following talk is going to be about surrealism and spiritualism with mm-hmm. Dr. Susan Abers, who's a really amazing art historian, and she recently released a book on Leonora Carrington's tarot deck. She's a historian on the surrealist artist Leonora Carrington, and mm-hmm. the talks will play nicely off of each other because Susan will speak about surrealist women artists who believed in trance and also the processes of spiritualism, because a lot of surrealists co-opted spiritualist techniques but assigned the power to themselves and their own and their unconscious mind rather than the spirit realm. So both of those talks is going to kind of really hash out all the complications when you do these creative processes.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's fantastic. That really, I think for anybody who's interested in automatic art, automatic drawing, light trance, full trance, that sort of thing, that's really going to be a very, very, very interesting perspective. So I can't wait for that to unfold. So, and also, I think, so there's a lot with kind of architecture this year and visual arts. And so for people who think that, you talked about this being very much academics, but it's going to be a very balanced experience, left and right brain. So there's something for everybody.
Yes, definitely. And the presentations are really enjoyable. There's a lot of visuals. It's not, it's learning for fun. Even though it's very high caliber information, we have a bit of time, and all the speakers that we invite are usually great at performing their talks as well.
Yeah.
So,
oh, that's fantastic. I'm super excited. So, you also have one of our own, Dr. Charlie Emmons, coming in the afternoon, and he's a anthropologist. Is that right?
He's a sociologist.
I knew I was gonna mess that up. I'm so sorry. Poor Charlie. I'm sorry, Charlie. but he has a topic called Chinese ghosts, which I know he went and did a lot of field research to write that book. So that's really exciting.
Charlie is, he has a home in Lilydale, and he's married to a medium, mm-hmm. Penelope Evans, and he's a healer himself, but he's also a very well-regarded sociologist. Yeah. And he did a very fascinating study and very important, like a classic study, because it's really unique. Not many people have done the field research Charlie has on comparing the Chinese experience of ghosts or paranormal, comparing it to Western ideas of the paranormal.
I think that's going to be, because I'm, we all turned into Netflix nerds over the pandemic, right? And one of the things I locked onto was watching shows from other countries with subtitles on, and looking at how, in a pop culture way, they sort of deal with these ideas of life after death and what happens to your spirit and, what are, and then it gave me a frame of reference that I could then go and search from. So I think that's really interesting, and it's really going to, I really hope that people attend that and get an idea. Really, Charlie the field work that you were talking about, he really has been kind of boots on the ground anthropologist. So he's really gone and done his work. So, okay. So we don't have any questions so far, but for anybody who wants to call in, you're very welcome. The phone number here is 818-739-8818. So after Dr. Emmons, we have the sacred geometry of Ephrata Cloister.
I never knew much about the Ephrata Cloister either, but it relates to spiritualism or to Lilydale because it was a community, a spiritual community.
Oh, cool.
But albeit a different one, but it's one of the earliest communal societies in America.
Yes.
And it's best known for, they had unique forms of art that came out of these cloisters, unique forms of folk art, unique forms of music, and a really important printing establishment. And the cloister was founded in 1732. And also there's some sacred geometry for related to the building of the cloister.
Okay.
So actually the administrator and the historian who's in charge of the cloister now, mm-hmm. Nick Seeger, he will be speaking on this fascinating history of Ephrata. And so it's just an interesting moment in spiritual American history and in Eastern United States. And so kind of crisscrosses with some of the history of spiritualism or some of the, you know, that heritage in America.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's fantastic. So thank you for that. I think the more that we sort of explore the similarities and the, you know, different traditions, the better off we are, because it gives us a better understanding of who we are and how we came to where we are in our lives. And then in the later afternoon, 4 to 5, you have, and this is going to be a fun one, UFOs, spiritualism, and the paranormal with George P. Hansen. So that is going to be super fun, I think, for people who, you know, that's really going to pull together a lot of different beliefs and traditions. So,
yeah, especially I think that the topic is prime for this summer because we've had so much UFO UFO headlines in the media, and I mean coming from everywhere, the New York Times, the New Yorker, many of mainstream media is talking about UFOs.
Yeah.
And George, he is a really fascinating scholar. He's an independent scholar, and he wrote a book called The Trickster and the Paranormal, which mm-hmm. is a really interesting book, but he's going to be able to show how UFOs and mediumship relate, and actually they're very intrinsically linked, and they're not just these separate boxes. Usually we think of UFOs here and mediumship and spiritualism over here. But he will lay out how they are very related, and also how the fairy trail in Lilydale relates to UFOs. He's going to explain how, you know, those things seem completely disconnected. But
right.
When George presents his history and his arguments, it'll be fascinating.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I can't wait for that one. So, that's not something I expected to ever see in sort of the mainstream media, except as, you know, people kind of like joking or that sort of, you know, and yet every once in a while it comes up because they'll have, you know, a former pilot who'll come on and say, oh yeah, we would see all sorts of things. And so this is going to be really, I think you're right. It's very, very topical. So, and then 5 to 6, you are giving a lecture, and why don't you tell us about that?
Yes, I am I am giving a lecture, which on the surface might seem unusual to be presenting in Lilydale, but it's about Michael Jackson.
Okay.
And how I got drawn to the topic of Michael Jackson is when I was working on my book Seance, and I was doing a lot of traveling and meeting mediums from all over the world, trying to see what people were doing in their seances, what was going on, you know, different practices. I sat in a lot of physical mediumship circles, and a lot of people were, or a lot of mediums were saying they were had been in contact with Michael Jackson, or that they had gotten messages from him, or that he was coming to their seances. And I was like, why Michael Jackson? It started me on like a path to think about Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. And so I started researching his life. Mm-hmm. And I realized there are a number of really powerful correlations you can make with Michael Jackson and ancient ideas about spiritual, about shamanism, about saints' experiences, about mediums. There's a lot of parallels there.
Interesting.
And and even his inspiration for his music is you could directly tie to spiritualist ideas of art.
Yeah.
And so I break it all down, and I know it sounds maybe not as obvious, but when I use the pictures and talk about his life and give specific examples, and much of the material is drawn from just mainstream media that we're already familiar with. I'm just putting a different frame on it.
Yes.
And it's one of my favorite side projects that I work on. I right now it just lives as this visual talk.
Right.
And this will be the first time it'll be ever also available online.
Fantastic. Okay, so this is brand new material, people. It's very exciting. So, that's awesome. Okay, so we do have one person who is called in. So I'm going to go ahead and switch over to them. So good morning, caller.
Oh, good morning. Hi, this is Donna. I didn't know if you were giving any readings this morning.
No, we're just we're talking about all things metaphysical and experiences in Lilydale today.
Okay, well, I had an experience. I was sitting up in my bed, and the corner of my eye, or it could have been my third eye, I saw. It was like a tumbling in a tunnel. And it was this man in robes tumbling, and then all of a sudden I saw him face to face, and he had the most beautiful face I'd ever seen, no beard or anything. I was like beaming with joy, and I felt all this joy, and I felt his royalty too, which I don't know where that was coming from, but I felt that, yes, he was of royalty. And then all of a sudden, it lasted quite a while, actually. I just smiled. I didn't say anything. I was afraid he would disappear. And then all of a sudden, I felt this enormous joy in my heart, and then he disappeared. I don't know who that was. I have no idea.
That is a very good question, but what an amazing experience. So,
it was. It was beautiful.
Yeah. And were you in Lilydale when you experienced that, or were you elsewhere?
No, I was at home. I was in California.
Oh, that's very cool. Wow. Good for you. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us. That is really cool. So
thank you. Right. Okay. Bye.
Have a good day.
You too.
See, just goes to show, spirit is everywhere.
Yes, and what I find too is that many people are drawn to spiritualism because they have experiences just like the caller shared.
Yeah.
And that a place like Lilydale holds the space for people to understand them or talk about them or even, you know, get them out without being, criticized. I've met many people in Lilydale who say, I never thought I'd be here in a million years. And yet they're there. And Lilydale offers this space to learn and process and heal and grow. So it's wonderful.
I think you're absolutely right. It's sort of like come for the phenomena, stay for the philosophy. You know, and we do try to, it's not just about the sort of miraculous. And I still, even as a professional medium, I find mediumship to be miraculous. You know, there's the intellectual knowing of the continuation of the soul. There's the experiential component that comes with it. And it never gets boring. I will say that.
Yes, that is very true. There is very little boring that you can find about these topics.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, even when you take something which, you know, I think that a lot of people, if you start talking about the concept of natural law, their eyes will sort of glaze over a little bit, like, oh, what's that? You know? and yet then they find, oh yeah, that really is very exciting, because that really, the way that frames things for me makes a lot of sense. So, you know, there is a philosophy. It's not just sort of all things new age or all things phenomena. Although it, you know, we do talk about phenomena. We do talk about, I remember staying in the Maplewood and, you know, seeing such and such or hearing such and such. And my favorite thing about about Lilydale is when I take people on a tour, and I always forget there's a sign in the Maplewood Hotel lobby that says, no seances in the lobby. No seances or mediumship circles in the lobby, please.
It's the best sign. When I first came to Lilydale, that sign was just so amazing to me.
Yeah.
Only here would a sign like that just be there without comment.
Yeah. It is, too. And there's also our former librarian, who had a wonderful sense of humor, put a little sticker on the library door that said, open slowly, door, a building may be haunted. It's like a little ghost.
That's funny. Like,
that is amazing. so, you know, it's quirky. so we did have a question off of Facebook for you, if you don't mind. And we have somebody who's writing in by the name of Nan, and she's asking, what factors are involved in getting your book released? She'd love to see a copy, and because it's not available at a library near her.
Well, you may be able to try interlibrary loan. But other than that, I have a mailing list on my website. If you go to shannontaggart.com, there's a link to click, and you can add your email, and it's all the updates about the book will come through via that link.
Thank you for that. One of the things about photo books, because I'm well aware of this myself, photo books are very expensive to make because they're very high quality. And so in between printings, sometimes it takes a little while because you have to kind of, you know, get it together in a way that you have to be very careful about, you know, what press releases it and that sort of thing, because you want to keep the quality. So.
Could say too, next week on June 30th at 1 p.m. Eastern, I'm giving an online talk that's free that will show a lot about my book. Cool. It's being hosted by the Science Museum Group and Senate House Library in London. Ooh. So it's 6 p.m. UK time, but 1 p.m. Eastern. And I will share a lot of the material from the book and a lot of the pictures. So that is an easy way to see me talk for free about the book.
Fantastic. So I will gather that, and I will post it on my Facebook as well. That people will have access to that. So my Facebook is Celeste Elliott, and you'll see the little picture of me and my little red afro, and it'll be right there. So, fantastic. I am always so grateful to have you on because, you know, there's always so much enjoyable subject matter, and I feel like we could go on forever, but I did want to get a chance to ask you, because you've been around Lilydale for so long, what are some of your favorite places? What do you like to do when you come in?
I love everything about Lilydale. One of my favorite things is that I actually get the best night's sleep ever when I'm in Lilydale. I know some people get really wired and they can't sleep, or they have the opposite experience, but I find it, the energy in Lilydale so peaceful. Of course, like one of my favorite spots is the Healing Temple. You know, Celeste and I were talking about that earlier. I feel like it's the hub of Lilydale, and there's so much beautiful healing energy that comes out of there. The Fairy Trail, that's newer in Lilydale. I mean, it's been there, I don't know, Celeste, when did they start the Fairy Trail? I don't know, like maybe 10 years ago?
Yeah, I would say about that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one of the newer features that I love, and it's fascinating to see how that's become a true part of Lilydale, and it's a newer element, you know. And I have friends who they love to go down the Fairy Trail late at night and do orb photography, or you know, kind of or fairy pictures. There's people who try and do fairy pictures, and then share those images, and that's really fascinating. And the outdoor message services, and being around the trees in Lilydale, I mean, they're some of the oldest trees in North America, right?
We have an old growth forest, the Leolan Woods, that is part of the property. And it is in our bylaws that we don't cut trees down in that section unless they are a threat to people's lives, or, you know, or extreme for property, that sort of thing. We actually had one that fell the other night, fell across the walking path. So on solstice, they had to, you know, come out and remove it. They roll it to the side and let nature take its course. So the walking path has changed slightly because of that. Because you get used to seeing the same trees and the same stumps year after year after year, because, you know, nature. And so any changes are like, oh wow, okay. we have beautiful walking trails on the property, and the environmental committee has been wonderful about, you know, putting up signs so that people know what the trees are and marking the trails for us and things. So, it's a really nice experience to come. You know, some people come to do nothing. And they have a wonderful experience doing nothing. Sitting by the lake, you know, we have like 5 or 6 parks in a town with 12 streets. So just being, you know, grabbing a cup of coffee at the new restaurant in the cafeteria, the Lily, or Lucy's Coffee Shop, or, you know, grabbing a scoop of ice cream, just hanging out. So, something for everybody.
Yeah. One of the things I learned at a previous lecture at Science of Things Spiritual, which I hosted, was that we had an architect named Steve Bass, and he did a presentation about the unique architecture of Lilydale, and he explained that one of the reasons Lilydale, first of all, you could never build Lilydale again. It's not up to the codes or the standards of how they want housing and streets built.
Right.
But he explained, like, part of the coziness and the peace of Lilydale comes from the way the where the houses are in relation to the streets.
Yeah.
A lot of those spatial relationships about how the cars have to drive very slowly.
Yes.
And where it's placed, and he did this whole thing, and it was really fascinating to see him lay it all out, and then you realize, like, oh, that's part of the reason this place feels so peaceful.
Yeah, and I think that any time, you know, this land was sacred land to the Seneca before it was, I'm going to put it in quotes, settled, and was farmland. When the spiritualists took it over as a campgrounds, and then a permanent town. So there are pictures from the very beginning in the late 1800s where you had houses and then a tent, and then and it was like they had some, you know, a family would have a leasehold, but it would be, you know, they would just come and put up a tent in the summer because camp was only 2 weeks long. And then eventually you got the permanent houses, and it, instead of extending it all the way back onto what is now Route 60, because North Street, which is next to me, was supposed to be the last street. And then we acquired more land and went this way. So it's been, so you can tell the difference from when the houses were built. And I like to brag that I have one of the newer houses because it was built in 1922. So next year it can have a 100-year anniversary party.
Yeah. Wow.
So, you know, it's fascinating, honestly. But you're right. I mean, the peace of it, being on a foothill on a spring-fed lake, and, you know, sandwiched by an old-growth forest, and technically we are an island, which a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah, another speaker at one of the other sessions of thoughts was George Hampton had kind of surmised that part of Lilydale's specialness is because it's off the beaten path.
Yes.
Kind of secluded.
Yeah.
It takes, even, you know, even when you drive there, you know, you have to take, I always think of that mile drive from 60 into Lilydale as your transition time from, you know, regular life to Lilydale had,
yes.
And its proximity to water, you know, there was a lot of really famous mediums from the East Coast of America, and some people have surmised maybe it has to do with the Great Lakes or even Niagara Falls or something to do with water and psychic energy. There's a lot of theories about that, which are interesting to consider.
I have always heard that water is a psychic conductor, which is that's a very interesting point. The humidity has a factor, although I have met some dynamite mediums from Arizona as well, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But so, you know, I think it's interesting, but we have such a rich culture and history within the community, and you know, I really encourage people to come and go check out the museum and ask questions from our historian, Ron, and go to the library and, you know, look at some of the exhibits and things there as well, because it's really tremendous. So,
yeah. Yeah, and there's even, you know, if Maplewood, some prime examples of spiritualist art just in the foyer.
Yeah, in the Azure Room, absolutely.
Yeah, Azure, and there's a big, I think it's by Molly Fancher, the medium. Good. She was known as the Brooklyn Enigma.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
I think some of her pieces are also in the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
I just watched a piece on her during COVID, I was flipping through the channels and it was on, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I was like, oh, I know who that is. Okay. So, but yeah, there's really some, you know, you can come and do everything, or you can come and do nothing and have a good time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right. Well, we are almost at time, but I wanted to thank you again for coming on and being willing to talk to us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been great
pleasure.
As always.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to being in Lilydale this summer in person. I missed last summer.
Yeah.
So this year will be extra special. And I'm really excited about the program we have. And again, you can go to my website, shannontaggart.com/events, and see a list of everything, and then or you could also go to Lilydale Assembly and go direct to the place where the tickets are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have any questions, I'm happy to take emails, or I'm also on Facebook, but all of that is on my website, shannontaggart.com.
Perfect. And then actually, before you go, we had one very interesting question, if you don't mind.
Okay.
So Kim has asked if you think, do you think that more orb and spirit are captured now because of the advances in cameras and shutter speed?
Yes, I do. I do think digital, I see orb photography as the main form of spirit photography of today.
I agree.
And it's something that evolved. And I think it is due to the digital devices. So it's a new form that came with the new technology. And so for me, as being a researcher too, it's fascinating to see how people are working with orbs and how it's evolving as a form, because people say, oh, spirit photography, that was the thing of the past.
Right.
And I said, no, it's really not, because there are many people, you know, communities of people sharing these images and working with orbs, and there's a lot of books about orb photography, so it's a really fascinating, off-the-beaten-path photography practice that people who aren't aware of spiritualism aren't aware, you know, they don't know so much about. So, yes, I do think it has to do with the new technology.
Very cool. Yeah, thank you for that. That was... That's such an important point, and I could not close the show without addressing that, because I thought that was brilliant. So awesome. Okay.
Great. Well, thank you for having me. It was wonderful to be here.
My pleasure. Absolutely. All right. So until next time, guys, my show will be continuing through the summer. Next week, I have the wonderful Elaine Kaczmarek with us. And there are topics that you are interested in hearing about over the summer, please do direct message me on Facebook or email me at revcelesteelliott@gmail.com. Duh, I forgot the Gmail. and until next time, I am wishing you a good day and good vibes. Nope.